This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris and you're listening to The Morning Run. It's time now for The Property Show. An increasing number of people are now living in condominiums, apartments and gated guarded housing areas. With this lifestyle comes a new responsibility, a responsibility to ensure timely payments are made, to ensure services can be provided, not just for ourselves, but also for our neighbours. Property managers too have a responsibility. They need to ensure that these services are provided in accordance to a set of standards. So today on The Property Show, we've got Keith Kum speaking to Sarkunan Subramaniam, President of the Malaysian Institute of Professional Property Managers.
Sarki, the reality is that more and more developments are opting for these types of communities. Take us through how this came to be.
Basically, there's more and more strata community living, and the reality of these developments is purely because of the scarcity of land. I mean, as land gets more and more scarce, especially in urban areas, there is a need to go high-rise and into development into communities. And due to the high prices of lands, we have more dense development and communal living. And this is the reason why, in reality, more and more developments are in the strata mode. And also because of people wanting more security, more facility with the places where they live.
Now, what are the challenges to this sort of strata living?
There are many challenges, actually, and the most predominant challenge is the management of these premises and the collection of sinking fund and service charge that is required to run these premises. Mm-hmm. And there's also challenges with regards to getting volunteers to basically run the MC, which is the management corporation or the joint management body. Problems with levels of competency, not only with regards to competency and knowledge, not even with regards to just the body corporate, but also with regards to even the property managers. And this is an area which is really quite lacking. A lack of understanding, mm-hmm. and generally a lack of mindset on what it takes to live in a community, in a communal living context.
But we've had programs like Rukun Tetangga, you know, when we were growing up. Mm. How far removed is this sort of stratified living compared to what we used to?
That is so different. You know, when in a Rukun Tetangga, you are living in individual title houses, possibly, where you don't pay any service charge, a common charge towards the common maintenance of the common property. There you get together and you have potlucks and security rounds in the middle of the night, and that's all that it takes. But when it comes to communal living together where there is common areas to be maintained, that's a totally different ballgame, Keith.
So right now we have to pay to get what we used to get for free.
No, that you are paying because you are living within a strata development. It's totally different context, so it cannot be likened to each other, although some aspects may be similar. But living in a community, in a strata community, where you have common facilities that you share, of course, these common facilities need upkeep.
Correct.
And therefore, you need to pay service charge. And you need to know how to maintain them and in order to get the best satisfaction that you want to.
Understood. So now the advantages, one of which you mentioned was security, and it's usually the concern of many residents. Is this adequately addressed in stratified development?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. But security in itself, a big topic. The level of security that one needs within the premises is also something that we need to look at. In a normal strata development, the security is run by outsourced company that you will probably need to highlight areas that you need CCTV, access card issues, the competency of guards. All these things needs to be addressed. And sometimes when you outsource some of this, you need to monitor this outsourced party to ensure that the competency of the guards and basically the implementation of security is to the level that you want. Sometimes security, you could have all the best SOPs, but if it's not followed, then what's the point of having all the SOPs, you see? And also whether a lot of these aspects do embrace technology. Security also needs to embrace technology because there's a lot of new areas in that technology can be used to enhance security.
For investors, though, what sort of value enhancements can be expected as opposed to landed property?
I would like to reiterate the most important aspect, the most important aspect of enhancing value of your home in a strata community is the quality of the management. A good management will increase the value of your property. Any condo that is managed well and the market will recognize this condominium unit is in a development that is so well managed, the value of your investment is protected. The key to asset preservation is good maintenance, which will also lead to lower maintenance costs. And instead of doing corrective maintenance, you will have proper preventive maintenance, which will then enhance a lot of the lifespan of a lot of the equipment that you have in your development.
What sort of tips do you have for investors looking to buy property like this? You know, what should they look for in order to decide whether a management is good or not?
I think the first most important thing, let's say if you're buying from the developer, the most important thing, the track record of the developer. Right. I think it's the key issue. Has this developer that has developed the particular condos or units, go back and look at other developments that they have developed. Right. Speak to owners who are living in developments that they have developed. Find out whether this developer is proactive, has he managed well. And that applies towards the development management period. And then subsequently, it is then passed on the management corporation, right, or the JMB. Go and find out whether this particular development that you are buying, the JMB is a proactive JMB, whether JMB is progressive JMB, and whether they really take efforts to protect the value of the investment that they have. I mean, I have seen many JMBs or MCs who have taken over from developer. The first thing they don't want to do is go around cutting costs because they want to pay lower service charges. I think this is a disaster. Because most important, you need to, whilst you want to lower costs, it's not a matter of slashing your pen and say, I want to bring this down. It's a matter of seeing where are the areas that can improve in order to reduce costs, but not simply taking a pen and slashing it. I want to cut this down to so much, lower the number of guards, lower the number of cleaners. You're just asking for trouble.
Sort of looking for a balance in this case.
You've got to look for a balance.
So how are these costs determined?
You got to look at the total operation cost. And this total operation cost is then divided by the share units. Many years ago, before the Strata Management Act, it used to be divided by the square foot, plain square foot. But nowadays, because of the Strata Management Act, it has to be divided by the share units held by the various units. Once this operation cost is determined, normally it is brought to the AGM. And in the AGM, it is adopted. Once the AGM adopts this cost, it is then divided by the share units, and then the various units have to pay accordingly. On top of that, they have to pay the building insurance, which is then pro rata, the quit rent.
Right.
Although in the new amendments to the Strata Titles Act, the quit rent will, individual titles will have, for strata titles will soon have their own quit rents, but that is not yet the practice. And then also sinking fund, which is then a percentage of the total operation budget. All these are shared according to share units. It's held.
On the Property Show this week, we are talking to Sakunan Subramaniam, President of the Malaysian Institute of Professional Property Managers. In a little while, we will talk about the 1981 Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents Act and ongoing plans to table its amendments. BFM 89.9. This is the Property Show on BFM 89.9. We are talking to Sakunan Subramaniam, the President of the Malaysian Institute of Professional Property Managers. Now, Saki, let's talk about the 1981 Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents Act, also known as Act 242. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, the thing that I want to speak about this act is the fact that it has now been amended as of the last parliament sitting and, in fact, just got the royal assent. The amendments include the Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents Act is now amended to be called the Valuers, Appraisers, Estate Agents and Property Managers Act. So, therefore, whilst in the act as it was in the past, only valuers could be property managers,
right,
and carry out the job of doing property management for a fee. That's a big difference between doing it for a fee and just doing it as part of an MC or as a company that owns the property. When you do it for a fee, you have to be registered with the Board of Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents, and now property managers.
Now, wait, Sarki, before we go further, could you put it into context where property managers fall in the context of management corporations?
In the context of management corporation, under the Strata Management Act, they have the right to choose what we call an agent to manage their property. The management corporation has the right to choose just anyone
right.
who need not be registered under the Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents at Property Managers Act. They can employ anyone. But the only difference is that if you employ a person who is not under the Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents and Property Managers Act, they have to pay a bond. And this is where a lot of people don't realize that. A bond has to be deposited, which is equivalent to 12 months of the management fee that they are charging the various developments, subject to a minimum of 50,000. They have to put in this bond to the MC in order to manage. But for those who are within the Act, the Valuers Act, if I may call it in short, they need not do this bond because they have the requirement to purchase professional indemnity insurance for any act of negligence.
Okay.
So in that sense, they are covered by the fact that the board requires them to buy this professional indemnity insurance. And that's a big difference. Not to say that people, management corporations, have to employ those within the Valuers Act. They can employ just anybody.
Anyone.
But the difference is as what I explained earlier.
So now, Act 242 was formulated because of unregulated property managers, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us what their roles are. What should residents expect from them?
As far as those within the Valuers Act, those who are registered with the board, and as I want to highlight with the new amendment, the Act now allows other than valuers to now register within the Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents Act. And that is a key issue here. I would encourage all those who have been practicing property management for a fee, that is, although they are not eligible in the past to be registered under the Valuers, Appraisers and Estate Agents Act, they should go ahead and do that because since the Act has been amended, as of next year, the board will be opening up a new register, mm-hmm. the Register of Property Managers within their Act. And therefore, I would encourage a lot of those who have been practicing, as long as you have the proof, as long as you have all the credentials, you could go ahead and apply and come within this Act where you don't have to start paying bonds as what required under the Strata Management Act. But those within the Act are governed by this board in terms of their professional ethics, conducts, in terms of disciplinary action in the event they do not carry out their work in accordance, and residents, management corporations who are unhappy with the quality or do they have specific complaints can then lodge a report. Not only to the COB, but also to the board. The board can then take disciplinary action against the particular property manager and maybe even fine him, suspend him, even disbar him from practicing property management. And that is where more responsibility is taken on by those within this Act. And it is actually much better from strata MCs to hire people who are within the Valuers Act, which then helps them get more control, more security in the sense that they get better services.
Now, residents, their responsibility is obviously to ensure their maintenance fees are up to date, paid on time. There have been problems that these things don't happen ideally. How is this being addressed?
I think residents will pay if the management is good.
It's a chicken and egg situation.
It's a chicken and egg situation. But the key issue is engagement. One of the things that came out of a public forum that MIPPM recently held was engagement with your various unit holders. Good management, engagement, and you need to, of course, enforce good credit control measures. Of course, there are methods of deactivating access card, making it difficult. Although you cannot deny entry of one to their own unit,
right.
but you can make it difficult by deactivating their access card and making them come. Every time they go up, they have to fill up a form and you follow the security guard up to their unit. All those things you can do.
But is there a better way of doing it than denying entry?
Well, the Strata Management Act allows for you to lodge a complaint to the COB so that the COB can go ahead and seize the assets within the property. As you have seen lately, some municipality COBs right. have done that. But of course, there are due process that you go through before such actions are taken. You can even go to the strata tribunal in order to recover the debt. The other way of doing it, even before you go to all those steps, is to list down all your defaulters in a name and shame atmosphere within your
notice boards.
You could do that.
How prevalent is this problem, Sarki?
It is quite prevalent. Quite a number of units, especially in the low, medium class units, strata developments, that find it very difficult to collect service charges. Also, I want to highlight, there are also issues where developers don't pay service charge. And that is even more a bigger problem. For instance, if I am a developer and I develop 200 units and I'm only managed to sell 100 units, for the 100 units that I have, once the people move in and all that, I will have to start paying service charge even though I don't occupy. But a lot of developers do not pay.
It seems like a lack of education is the problem here. Your organization, MIPPM, are you planning on engaging property owners on their responsibility to settle their maintenance charges?
I think that is one of the critical areas that MIPPM is embarking to educate the public. We recently had a public forum where people can bring up their issues. We have had various seminars and CPDs to educate our property managers on the new act. And on the 29th of November, we have our second annual conference, PropTech, Driving the Future of Property Management. PropTech is about technology to enhance property management techniques. And this is where I think there is a tremendous lack of embracement of IT and technology by property management. Property management has been in the past paperwork. And this idea that it involves so much of paperwork has to go out the door.
Right.
It's now we are talking about using apps, we are talking about client interface, we are talking about tenant and owner-occupier interface, we are talking about back-end work order, all using apps. And that's why this conference that will be held is very important for property managers, valuers, even MCs, JMB heads to come. We anticipate about 300 to 400 participants with international speakers from India, also speakers from Hong Kong. We have speaker from Dubai. I want to ensure that Malaysians, we don't get left behind. We don't want to be people with third world culture when it comes to property management, and which is the biggest worry that our leaders have. We have first class infrastructure, but third class property management mentality, we can't have that. So we want to embrace technology. We want to bring in ideas from foreign and also homegrown ideas.
That was Keith Kam speaking with the president of the Malaysian Institute of Professional Property Managers, Sarkanan Subramaniam. If you missed any part of this interview, you can listen to the conversation by downloading the BFM app on Google Play or the Apple App Store. We've got the news coming up shortly, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And Enterprise on the other side of the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.